This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. It is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. This Course in Miracles can therefore be summed up very simply in this way. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. When you are fearful, you are non-existent. In truth, this fearful world does not exist at all. Herein lies the peace of God. This Course in Miracles presents the inevitable possibility of the eternal singular reality of life. Now to the practice of the transformation of your mind. This, the workbook of A Course in Miracles. A theoretical foundation, such as was presented in the text, is necessary as a framework to make the exercises that we now intend to begin meaningful. Yet it is doing the exercises that will make the goal of the course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. This workbook, this provision of training that you are undertaking, is divided into two main sections. First, we're going to deal with the undoing of the way that you see now, and second, with the acquisition of true perception. Here is our purpose. The purpose in what we will perform on this video and in this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. Listen, transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. On the other hand, one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishment anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. In this practice that we are about to begin, some of the lessons you will find hard to believe, and others may seem to be quite startling. This does not matter. You are merely asked to apply the ideas as you are directed to do. You are not asked to judge them at all. You are asked only to use them. It is their use that will give them meaning to you and will show you that they are true. Remember only this. You need not believe the ideas. You need not accept them, and you need not even welcome them. Some of them you may actively resist. None of this will matter or decrease their efficacy. The only thing we ask is that you don't make any exceptions on a moment-by-moment basis as you apply these lessons of this Course in Miracles. Here now begins the mind training. Here we are once again. the direction that I have received from you, we're proceeding in our efforts to bring about a change in how you view yourself and how you view the world. The teaching is called A Course in Miracles, and it's a directive that we have received from a mind out of this sequential association, directing our attention to the possibility that through a practice of the relinquishment of our identities with ourselves, we can undergo an experience of who we really are in relation to what we appear to see. With your permission this morning, I'm going to try to teach it from the idea of time travel. Say time travel to me.
Time travel.
Yes. We're fascinated somewhere by the idea that as a species inhabiting this little berg of dark form energy, that it would be actually possible for us to travel to the stars. And of course it is. And of course it will be. And of course we did. First, we have to learn a very fundamental lesson in regard to objective reality that is being taught by this mind training procedure to show us the conditional objective self that we use to verify our inability to sequence in our minds alternatives given to us in this place and this time. If you saw the previous video, you know that we're training your mind in a systematic way to a new way to look at yourself and hence the world. Since I am certain of the totality of your participation in it, in the limitations you have imposed on yourself in order to give you a limited direction of the flow of time. Okay? A direction that binds you to your previous experience. I want you to look with me just for a moment at lesson number 7 of the course, and this is where we left off in the last video, and listen to what it says. It's going to say, I see only the past. Watch. This idea is particularly difficult to believe at first, yet it is the rationale for all of the first 6 lessons that we practice and is the beginning point to a step out of time. It is the reason why nothing that you see means anything. It's the reason why you have given everything you see all the meaning that it has. It is the reason why you do not understand anything you see. It's the reason why your thoughts do not mean anything and why they are like the things that you see, as meaningless as are you. It's the reason why you're never upset for the reason that you think. That it's the reason why you're upset because you see something that is not there. All because you see only the past. Old ideas about time are very difficult to change because everything you believe is rooted in time and depends on your not learning these new ideas about it. Yet that is precisely why you need new ideas about time. This first time idea is not really so strange at all if you look at it. Look at this cup. Do you see a cup? Or are you merely reviewing your past experience of picking up a cup, being thirsty, drinking from a cup, feeling the rim of a cup against your lips, having breakfast, and so on? Are not your aesthetic reactions to the cup, too, based on past experiences? How else would you know whether or not this kind of cup will break if you drop it? What do you know about this cup except what you learned in the past? You would have no idea what this cup is except for your past learning. Do you then really see it at all? Look about you. This is equally true of whatever you look at. Everything that you see is always over and gone. Each moment, in all of time, you exist in the entirety of this space, here and now. Time travel. How is it going to be possible for you, within an idea of your conceptual association, to travel to the stars if everything that you see in association with yourself is a reflection of what has already gone by? The indications that would be presented to you in this article on time travel will continue to define your identity based on your, and this is moving to lesson number 8 now, isn't it? On your preoccupation with ideas that are hence projected from you that give you apparent form associations within your own mind that are always past. The simple, truthful fact of the matter is that everything you see is always over and gone. Everything that you picture within the own illusion of the correspondence of your body relationship is actually over and gone each moment. In effect, humans confined to an idea of an association of sequential time, you're seeing nothing. The difficulty you have in the mind training procedure is that if you, as an entity of consciousness, and I assure you, you are one as you are factored in your relationship with me right now, in fact, do not see anything as it is now, it must be that your thoughts about what is over and gone could not mean anything. Now, you might say to me, well, my thoughts about what are over and gone can mean to me what they mean now. And while I would be happy to grant you that, if you will take the procedural idea offered in the change of the context of the relationship with your own mind, you will be able to see that there must be a place somewhere in your own mind between the thought that you had that returned to you and the thought that you then return to an idea of your objective reality. That's the open space that we want to mature in your mind in these lessons, in a day-by-day, moment-by-moment practice, so that as you're walking along saying, I'm going to practice today, my meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world because I see only the past. Okay? Now, it isn't necessary. Remember what we said on the other video? It isn't necessary that you believe this. It's going to be true whether you continue to organize in your own relationship with yourself what you think this world is. That cannot not be so, because in the configuration of your time demonstration, you literally are living in the past. Can you see this with me? What I'm interested about, and I'm speaking to you from the revelation of my mind that shows me myself in its present condition, is what the universal mind is. Would you like to take a moment and share that with me? We start with the fundamental premise that minds can communicate. That is, if I recognize you in my mind in the falsity of my own relationship with myself, how in hell am I ever going to get to know you? I can only know you from the reference in which you organize within my mind in regard to whether I know you from previous events, situations, denials, attacks, hatred, love, the resentment I feel about each other that we share, or whether I could open my mind to a bright new alternative that would show me in an instant the light that's all around us, whereby the images that we previously utilized in our old association can be made fresh and new in us. And that freshness and that newness is the purpose of this workbook of mind training of A Course in Miracles. The very fundamental basis of what I am offering you from my whole mind is that there is no such place as this world, that it is a construction of your mind in your conceptual identity of what you think it is, and is a reflection of the containment of the memories that formulate what is long over and gone. So we looked at the I See Only the Past, and contained in that were the reviews of the first six lessons of this mind training that hopefully you have been practicing. Let's take a look at number eight now, if you will, with me. What does it say? My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. As you look at me now, you are cognifying a relationship with me based on the identity of yourself within your own illusion of correspondence of this body. We're curious to see, and I'd appreciate it if you perhaps could correspond with us in this regard about whether the procedural training that we are attempting to demonstrate through this communication of mind can show you that in your preoccupation with yourself, you are literally not seeing anything. The idea of capacity to travel in time must allow for a physical evidence of continuity of the form of objective reality within, let's use the term black hole. I saw another folder that you had here, and it says black hole. It says that the universe has collapsed in and that we're all struggling within a potential idea of the entirety of universal consciousness, but that it's not available to us because we have trained our conceptual identities of ourself in the longevity of time to reject the possibility of a continuing continuity of reality that would show us through this mind training that we are indeed at this moment perfect and whole as we were created. We're going to take a look just for a minute now. I'm preoccupied with my own thoughts. This will be number eight in the mind training series. We're going to show you very quickly just three more of the lessons that hopefully you're doing on a day-by-day basis, and then we're going to talk about them. Watch. My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. This idea is, of course, the reason why you see only the past. Are you ready? No one really sees anything. He sees only his thoughts projected outward. The mind's preoccupation with the past is the cause of the misconception about time from which your seeing suffers. Your mind cannot grasp the present, which is the only time that there is. It therefore cannot understand time and cannot, in fact, understand anything. The one wholly true thought one can hold about the past is that it is not here. To think about it at all is therefore to think about illusions. Very few have realized what is actually entailed in picturing the past or in anticipating the future. The mind is actually blank when it does this, because it is not really thinking about anything. The purpose of the exercises for today is to begin to train your mind to recognize when it is not really thinking at all. While thoughtless ideas preoccupy your mind, the truth is blocked. Recognizing that your mind has been merely blank, rather than believing that it is filled with real ideas, is the first step to opening the way to vision. I see nothing as it is now. This idea obviously follows from the two preceding ones. But while you may be able to accept it intellectually, it is unlikely that it will mean anything to you as yet. However, understanding is not necessary at this point. In fact, the recognition that you do not understand is a prerequisite for undoing your false ideas. These exercises are concerned with practice, not with understanding. You do not need to practice what you already understand. It would indeed be circular to aim at understanding and assume that you have it already. It's difficult for the untrained mind to believe that what it seems to picture is not there. This idea can be quite disturbing and may meet with active resistance in any number of forms. Yet that does not preclude applying it. No more than that is required for these or any exercises. Each small step will clear a little of the darkness away, and understanding will finally come to lighten every corner of the mind that has been cleared of the debris that darkens it. My thoughts do not mean anything. This idea applies to all of the thoughts of which you are aware or become aware in the practice periods. The reason the idea is applicable to all of them is that they are not your real thoughts. We've made this distinction before and we'll do it again. You have no basis for comparison as yet. When you do, you will have no doubt that what you once believed were your thoughts do not mean anything. This is the second time we have used this kind of idea. The form is only slightly different. This time the idea is introduced with my thoughts instead of these thoughts, and no link is made overtly with the things around you. The emphasis is now on the lack of reality of what you think you think. This aspect of the correction process began with the idea that the thoughts of which you are aware are meaningless, outside rather than within, and then stressed their past rather than their present status. Now we are emphasizing that the presence of these thoughts means that you are not thinking. This is merely another way of repeating our earlier statement that your mind is really blank. To recognize this is to recognize nothingness when you think you see it. As such, it is the prerequisite for vision. We're back, and we looked at this lesson that said, I see nothing as it is now. The procedure from there on would be to direct a certainty of a whole mind as represented by me that is difficult as it is for you within your conceptual association to admit all of your thoughts are actually meaningless. In effect, when you think about nothing, you utilize the nothingness of the correspondence of the objective associations and become that nothing. Certainly there's nothing new about the idea that it's possible for you as a confinement of a rationale of self-consciousness to undergo an enlightening experience that shows you an alternative so completely different from the world that you previously saw that you realize virtually, admittedly, that the world that you saw did not correspond to the revelation you received in a spiritual enlightenment. All of your religious organizations are attempts to demonstrate these moments of correspondence that transcend the species. Split mind, as you have identified yourself. For the first time, we're unleashing on this world the possibility that you individually, in your own home, under the auspices of the guide of the mind of Jesus Christ, resurrected, that the particulars of your own mind can be self-inclusive in you, so that all of the alternatives that you offer to yourself will be based on the solution that has now become available to you through this mind training. Now, the lesson that's going to come right after that is going to say what? I am upset because I see a meaningless world. If you'd like to look at your self-consciousness with me right now, it will be evident to you that in the organization of your own conceptual self, you have no true formula on which to base how you represent yourself within this continuum. That cannot not be fearful, because the you that you have established as your identity is in a chaotic determination to justify the separation of itself from its original source. You will be upset, and are upset as a species in an existent association, because in fact you do see a meaningless world. The procedure by which you could come to know that could not include the idea that your thoughts as a contemporary identity in objective reality, in this Newtonian idea of mechanical life, will be how you view yourself in regard to who you believe you are. So that the provision offered you in this workbook is an indication that you have the power within you to change your mind. And as this lesson goes on, what's going to come? I want to see differently. When I go out today, after I watch this video, when I go out in the world, I'm going to take out with me the idea that I'm seeing only the past and that I want to see differently. That doesn't mean that I'm going to get an immediate response to the difference in which I see, but it does mean this. If it's inevitable that available to you within the entire continuity of the association of space-time, or the light factor of the movement from potential, from the black hole to the reality of universal mind, is available to you, it will become increasingly senseless as you undergo the experience of the transformation of your mind, not to utilize that power of choice to show you the alternative of a new continuity that I am attempting to demonstrate to you right now. Now, just for a moment, we're going to look again at lessons from number 10 on up perhaps through 13 or 14 in the mind training. And let's look at the idea, first of all, that we are in fear. And the next lesson is going to say that God, universal reality, life, love, eternity, is not what fear is. We'll be right back. My meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. This is the first idea we have had that is related to a major phase of the correction process, the reversal of the thinking of the world. It seems as if the world determines what you perceive. Today's idea introduces the concept that your thoughts determine the world that you see. Be glad indeed to practice the idea in its initial form, for in this idea is your release made sure. The key to forgiveness lies in it. It contains the foundation for the peace, the relaxation, and freedom from worry that we are trying to achieve. Once more, my meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. I am upset because I see a meaningless world. The importance of this idea lies in the fact that it contains a correction for a major perceptual distortion. You think that what upsets you is a frightening world, or a sad world, or a violent world, or an insane world. All these attributes are given it by you. The world is meaningless in itself. Let's give it a try. I think I see a fearful world, a dangerous world, a hostile world, a sad world, a wicked world, a crazy world. I think I see a good world, a happy world, an okay world, a satisfying world. You may not yet understand why these nice adjectives belong in the exercise, but remember that a good world implies a bad one, and a satisfying world implies an unsatisfying one. What is meaningless is neither good nor bad. Why then should a meaningless world upset you? If you could accept the world as meaningless and let the truth be written upon it for you, it would make you indescribably happy. But because it is meaningless, you are impelled to write upon it what you would have it be. It is this you see in it. It is this that is meaningless in truth. Beneath your words is written the word of God. The truth upsets you now, but when your words have been erased, you will see His. This is the ultimate purpose of these exercises and this Course in Miracles. A meaningless world engenders fear. Actually, a meaningless world is impossible. Nothing without meaning exists. However, it does not follow that you will not think you perceive something that has no meaning. On the contrary, you will be particularly likely to think that you do perceive it. Recognition of meaninglessness arouses intense anxiety in all of the separate ones. It represents a situation in which God and the ego challenge each other as to whose meaning is to be written in the empty space that meaninglessness provides. The ego rushes in frantically to establish its own ideas there, fearful that the void may otherwise be used to demonstrate its own impotence and unreality. And on this alone it is correct. It is essential, therefore, that you learn to recognize the meaninglessness and accept it without fear. If you are fearful, it is certain that you will endow the world with attributes that it does not possess and crowd it with images that do not exist. Just remember that a meaningless world will cause you to be fearful. But remember, too, that you have given this world all the meaning that it has. So here we are at lesson Lucky 13. Okay, and the lesson says, a meaningless world engenders fear. The admission of the meaninglessness, and this is true of all human beings, causes us a great deal of anxiety. We cannot not begin to feel in our hearts and minds the futility of the existence of this world. Sometimes that's expressed as a nihilism, like everything I do is going to result in death. No matter where I look, I don't seem to be able to find the solution to this. The chaos of this world is no longer tolerable to me. Okay, the engendering of fear has so captured me in the idea of the protective value of myself that I'm unable to see that a fearful world is not a product of our Creator. And suddenly we're at lesson number 14. And it's going to say God did not create a fearful world. It's going to say that the world that you see is a representation of a moment of separation from the reality of eternal life that you now demonstrate on a continuing basis as an alternative to the simple admission that you're whole and perfect as you were created. God did not create a meaningless world. Let me try this with you. I'm going to try it with you here just for a minute, because if you can hear this, you won't be so concerned when your prayers don't seem to be answered. That is, if we are an admission that everything that you do is a directive to yourself to participate in a particular reaction to your old experiences, you cannot not get the result that you want within your own conceptual mind. Listen, it's not true, it's not real, and it does not exist. Anything that God creates, your single source of reality, creates is eternal and will be forever
and you are that, and you have no alternative to it. If I can get you to accept that there is no alternative to you being whole and perfect as God created you. Remember the admonition of our Savior, my Savior, Jesus Christ? He said to you, therefore, be you perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You are the way, the truth, and the light. The salvation of the world depends on you, because the world, this world you see objectively, is a product of your own mind. Now, if you intend to use your old preoccupation with yourself in your conceptual self-identity in association with this world, and let this world, which is a previous projection of your own thoughts, tell you who and what you are, how can you expect to progress in this mind training? This mind training is to train your mind systematically to a continuing release of the defense of the forms that justify you in this dream. And in that practice, you will see all around you the light of heaven that tells us who we are. Now, the reason we brought up a little music for you to hear right in here is we're going to take just a moment and practice this lesson. Lessons 13, 14, and 15, because it will help us as you view me now, and as I view this life. Okay, because the next lesson is going to say to me that God is in this lamp, and while I know that's initially difficult for an untrained mind, it's not necessary that you know that God is in the lamp, but it is necessary that you admit that God, eternal life, is in everything. It will make it easier for you to view this lamp, this association of the symbols that you have made in your own mind, in a new dedication to recognize them based on a self, a new self of you that is emerging through the releases by the training of the defense of your own mind, of your own association with yourself. So the music that you're hearing in the back is my attempt to take my thought forms of myself, myself as I was created, and share with yourself as you were created the certainty of our union in the totality, that as total creations of the sum of all the universe, we share the light and love that represents all that is or ever could be. So we've trained our minds sufficiently to lay down the burden that we originally used to fill up very rapidly the vacancy of light that was offered between our conceptual thoughts that is no longer fearful to us. If all of the power of love that we share comes from God, why should we be afraid of each other? If what I'm telling you is true, and I assure you that it is, the only thing you could possibly be afraid of are your own thoughts about yourself. Because everything that you see out there is going to reflect back to you the fear of your association in this world. Certainly if this world is real, if this world that you are viewing in your conceptual mind as a human being is a product of eternal mind, of truth and happiness, you have every right to be concerned. I'm telling you, within the associations of your own mind, that it's not true. That you suffered a moment of separation, and through this practice of releasing of the defenses, we're going to find a continuing correspondence that will show us in this instant of continuity, not based on the old references of our mind, who we really are. So what was this lesson? God did not create a meaningless world. Now we're going to take a look at two more lessons that are available to us in this mind training, and that will represent this hour of practice. So take a look just now at the next two lessons in this regard.
God did not create a meaningless world. The idea for today is, of course, the reason why a meaningless world is impossible. What God did not create does not exist, and everything that does exist exists as He created it. The world you see has nothing to do with reality. It is of your own making, and it does not exist. The idea for today is another step in learning to let go the thoughts that you have written on the world and see the world of God in their place. The early steps in this exchange, which can truly be called salvation, can be quite difficult and even quite painful. Some of them will lead directly into fear. You will not be left there. You will go far beyond it. Our direction is toward perfect safety and perfect peace. You have been living in an ancient memory of a moment of separation from the reality of eternal life. This is your personal repertory of horrors at which you are looking. These things are part of the world you see. Some of them are shared illusions, and others are part of your personal hell. It does not matter. What God did not create can only be in your own mind apart from His. Therefore, it has no meaning. All you need do is remember, God did not create a meaningless world. My thoughts are images that I have made. It is because the thoughts you think appear as images that you do not recognize them as nothing. You think them, and so you think you see them. This is how your seeing was made. This is the function you have given your body's eyes. It is not seeing, it is image making. It takes the place of seeing, replacing vision with illusions. This introductory idea to the process of image making that you call seeing will not have much meaning for you right now. You'll begin to understand it when you have seen little edges of light around the same familiar objects which you see now. This is the beginning of real vision. You can be certain that real vision will come quickly when this has occurred. As you go along, you may have many of these light episodes. They may take many different forms, some of them quite unexpected. Do not be afraid of them. They are signs that you are opening your eyes at last. They will not persist because they merely symbolize true perception, and they are not related to knowledge. All you need do is remember that all of the thought images that you see about you have been made by you, and that you have given them all the meaning that they have. So my thoughts are images that I have made. So when I look at this lamp, when I look at this article, when I look out at you, at this camera, at the place that I'm in, I see images that I have made in my own thought patterns. And it's impossible that they do not represent memories of myself that I have or been constructed in my mind in regard to my purpose for being here. What I'd like to have you look at with me, if you would, and I'm going to speak to you for just a moment from not here. If everything I'm telling you is true, and I'm certain that you will come to know that it is true, I'm not here. This book on time travel from the physicists give us sure indications that within the physical realm of wave-particle association,
we actually don't exist at all. Now, the idea of non-existence is impossible, or rather it would be possible, but it couldn't be fulfilled because you will exist in this illusion. If I can take the word from the evidence now being presented by these physicists and astrophysicists that the universe itself is an entirety of an aggregation of light energy, including myself, I would be allowed the tolerance for the idea that my thought forms are representations of the energy or the particle association that I see. I could then acknowledge within my own mind that I appear to be in a transient state in time that will bring me from the idea of space-time in a search for a location to the realization, very simply, that I am everywhere, in all time, at every moment, which are the instructions that I was given in the idea of time travel. The idea that I see only images of my own mind is a progression that has been made in this new continuum in regard to what you term virtual reality. Many of us are fascinated from out of this continuum, are fascinated by the idea of the willingness of you within your own mind to acknowledge the illusionary quality of this, because the entire basis of this mind training is to show you in a continuing, less fearful idea about the continuity of your own mind, that it's actually an illusion. None of this is true. The world that you see is a product of your own illusionary mind, and it does not exist. Now, if you have given it evidence of your own existence within your own conceptual identity, let me offer to you within your conceptual ideas objectively about this world an alternative of a variation of a continuum of time. We call it a real world that is all around you but is being rejected by you through the fear of a momentary release of the defense of the location in which you find yourself. This is very well described in this idea of time travel. One of the more recent evidences of the idea that we could pass through so-called wormholes or black holes where the impacted energy could release us in our identities in a new place of space and time, of light evidence of our own mind. You look at me. That's very possible for you to do that. The experience you're beginning to have is an indication of the progress that you're making in releasing the defenses of yourself that have given you an identity of this body. It's not true. There are going to be 20 lessons at the end of this mind training procedure that are going to say, I am not a body. I am free. I am still as God created. I'm going to release the idea of the potential that I have given myself in dark form that must be used up within this slow time that I occupy. I'm going to see that it is true that everything that I am seeing is always over and gone. And if I'll stand just for this moment in this training and let this procedure of this new mind that I am now finding correspondence with come into my heart, I'll see an alternative. And it's very important that I recognize that emotionally I have been involved in the defense of myself and have every right to be grievous over my inability to find the solution. Your admission to me that you understand fundamentally that the solution to your problem is not contained in your organizational procedure of yourself is what this mind training is bringing about. Congratulations. You did succeed at this. And you did succeed because given the vernacular of choice, the idea that you can choose between corresponding evidences of your conceptual mind cannot not bring about a procedural result
that will show you the single source of all reality. And that reality of eternal love that we share together at this moment, that you have decided to forgive our previous projections of yourself. The procedure from our Savior Jesus Christ, and he is one of the finest examples of time travel that you'll ever see. Since the idea of resurrection is the idea of virtual reality, the only thing Jesus Christ ever said to you, and I'm always a little amazed by whoever calls themselves Christians, with the idea that all Jesus Christ ever really taught was the virtual reality of the particulars of his own mind in relationship with the body that he represented. Do you see that? If I'm representing to you the body and mind of Jesus Christ, and I assure you that I am, since they're in any reasonable perspective, there could only be one body and one mind, you will see that in that representation is the entirety of a continuity of thought form within your mind that will merge with mine in the totality of a single body identity, and this world will be over and gone. You listen to me, this world is over and gone. So we're up to, what, lesson number 15 or number 16, and we're dealing with the admission that we're in time traveling all the time. Every time I move from this spot to that spot, I travel in time. My problem is not that. The problem is I'm traveling in time that's always over. I can't catch up to myself because I'm always gone. This procedure allows me to go forward in time through going back in time, altering my old associations, which are all within my own mind, and coming out further in time than I previously was. And if that takes a little practice, enjoy it. That's certainly what this time travel idea is. Is it possible for you to do this? Yes. How can you know that it's possible for you to do it? You're doing it right now. If I can speed up time in your own mind through the release of the objectivity of yourself, which will be fearful to you because obviously any identification of yourself will be fearful. Lay down this burden of fear and guilt and recognize that you are whole and perfect as you were created. Remember, God is a fact. Finally, you have no alternative to be eternally happy and joyous and complete, because that's what we are together, and that's what you are in the realization of this illumination that's now occurring to you. We'll be back in just a moment. We're going to have a final prayer. I'm going to put up a very simple prayer for you here, and then I'm going to come back and give you a moment's description of what I mean. Watch. Father, I seek the peace you gave as mine in my creation. What was given then must be here now, for my creation was apart from time and still remains beyond all change. The peace in which your Son was born into your mind is shining there, unchanged. I am as you created me. I need but call on you to find the peace that you gave. It is your will that gave it to your Son. I was mistaken in myself because I failed to realize the source from which I came. I have not left that source to enter in a body and to die. My holiness remains a part of me as I am a part of you. And my mistakes about myself are dreams. I let them go today. I stand ready to receive your word alone for what I really am. So now it's prayer time, and for those of you out in the world, many of whom I am representing, the idea even of the word prayer
would be an admission of my former conceptual identity operating somehow successfully in this time frame, would actually call in a source that would be outside of my parameter of consciousness for the solution to my problem, did not have any real appeal to me. Most of you know my story. There was a point, finally, in my conceptual preoccupation with myself where I felt the utter frustration of my inability to manage my affairs. Not that I did not manage them successfully in the world, and I'm talking to you out there, but in the management, I felt the frustration of the realization that no matter how successful I was at the procedure, I would end up in exactly and precisely the same situation that everyone here in this place and time always ends up in. And that's to be dead and gone. So the prayer procedure that we just had is very simply asking for help. The basis of this teaching is the admission that within my conceptual association I can't solve the problem. And available to me in this instant of the admission of the non-solvability is the entirety of the solution. We call it prayer. I'm not concerned with what you call it, because obviously any construction of an objective God that you would pray to could only give you the result of the meaningless choices that you continue to make, with the admission that the eternal love of God and life would have something to do with the chaos and meaningless adventure in which you find yourself in order to deny the singleness of your reality. So yes, this is a prayer. Contains the admission that the power of your mind is in consistent prayer, that everything that you're praying for each moment within objective reality, you in fact are getting back in your own mind to demonstrate the consistency of your capacity to remain your false self. Because the split mind under which you operate as a species Homo sapien, has no true reality in it except the totality of the combination of the previous rejections of its self-identity. We notice that there's a redundancy in what I offer you conceptually, because each moment I'm offering you a complete alternative, the idea that this world could be real, and that you could in fact be confined to this little place in space-time and feel the pain and loss and sorrow of the things that you love, when the simple admission that the manner in which I view this world is preventing me from solving the problem, including the idea that the problem could not be real if there in fact there is a moment of quantum reality when I can travel to the universe, that's what I'm seeking through this mind training. And that's what I will find. So as I pray to our Father, I pray to you, Heavenly Father, the image that I see there, sitting out there in this world, is an image of the indication of my certainty, of my perfection, and the perfection of the images that I have made in my own mind, in the certainty that my source of reality comes from you. Father, I'm glad that I no longer see myself as trapped in the continuing revision or sequentiality of what has always been over and gone in my own mind. And that if I stand here just for a moment in this new high meditative technique, I begin to have experiences of the light that's all around me. The light that I am offering you from my mind to yours with the certainty that we are one mind. The lesson is going to come up very soon. There is one mind, and that I share with God. There is one life, and that I share with the source of all the universe. If I want, I can depart this world right now. I can't make it within the choices that have been provided me by the world, but I can make it in not, or deciding not to choose. And in the moment of not choosing, I will form in the new aggregation that's appearing in this space-time association that gives us a continual new direction rather than a repetition of our previous form of slow time, slow space. Thank you, Father, for giving me this sign at this time that the object of this little confined place of nothing as I view myself is not what I am, and that it is impossible, if I can formulate organizational procedure within my thought forms, that there is not a greater corresponding organizational procedure that justifies the continuity of the inevitability of eternal life. Thank you for helping me instruct you in the new discovery that I have made about myself, shared by yourself, that this old world was over and gone a long time ago, and you take this Course in Miracles from the Savior, Jesus Christ, who represents us within slow time, and shows us a continuing procedure of the realization of eternal life. I'm glad you came with me today for this hour. We hope we'll see you again somewhere in time. We inevitably will, because you are repeating the patterns of your mind association over and over again until you allow for the advancement of the light idea that shows you the real you in that alternative. So we'll be seeing you soon. For those out in the world who are practicing this procedure on a day-by-day basis, hold this in your heart. Understand that in the practice of this, you will begin to feel the vitalization. We have an audio tape now of the first 50 lessons. We have a little 20-minute book where you can practice in the morning, and you begin to feel this change that's going on in you. And the world will begin to change. Take your time with it. You're not going to prove anything by your old projections. The old projections that you see out there are what have held you in the bondage of the correspondent. So what is this practice? The practice to change the manner in which you think. And it is, and was, and will be successful. And you will leave this world, and you did. And I am demonstrating to you my certainty that in reality you're not here at all, except in the moment that you receive this message from me, from out of time, that you are eternal as you were created. So thank you once again for the privilege of showing you in our shared minds, through the love we have for each other, the release of the defenses that heretofore gave us the pain and loneliness and loss that constituted our time frame. And that frame has been removed for us forever. And if we choose not to see it in our own memories, it will pass away. God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the mind with which we think of each other. And I thank you for sharing that certainty with me. And I assure you that we will meet again, because we did. And when we meet once again, it will be the certainty that's now evolved in us in the recognition of the falsity of the momentary separation that gave us a direction that could not show us the entirety of the solution, because we lived in that moment of separation. It's all right. So I'll see you soon, and we'll have another mind training in the excitement of moving on through 365 lessons in this Course in Miracles, in the admission of our capacities to communicate instantaneously with each other in this time and in this place. Instantaneously, in our minds, with each other, in this time and in this place, sharing the love that we feel now and the relief of not having to exist in this frame, body form, and somehow set an example that we thought was life, rather than that discovery right there. You are indeed eternal and will be home with God forever. We'll see you soon.